And welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And we are supposed to now be joined by Drew Weston, who's a professor of psychology at Emory University and author of the book, The Political Brain, The Role of Emotion in Deciding the Fate of the Nation. And apparently, I'm just told that he's not answering the various phones that he gave us. So I will hope in the next minute or so that he surfaces, because I was interested in talking to him. He has a piece in the Huffington Post, Three Ways Democrats Could Choose to Lose in 2012 and What They Can Do to Avoid It. And he's somebody that has done the kind of research into the emotions of politics, or the importance of political emotion as opposed to fact-based arguments. And of course, as you probably know, we live in a fact-free zone nowadays, that the truth is a moving target, and he who manages, manipulates the truth and spins it most successfully wins the argument. So there has to be, obviously, particularly on the part of the Republicans, they've learned quite some time ago the advantages of how you frame arguments and how you use the press. We just got through a whole interview about tort reform, which is one of these successful canards that have been hoisted over the last 25 years to convince people that they should vote against their interests, and that the freedom of a corporation to make unlimited funds, and even if they even if their actions result in injury to people and malfeasance and product defects, you name it, there's a history of how things, consumers have been either defrauded or injured over the years. The ability to do anything about that have been eroded and eroded to the point where we're basically no chance of redress. So there's no question about the ability to frame things, and that is one of the deficits on the part of the Democrats in the way they present their arguments, and one of the amazing successes of the Republicans when they've presented things like tax relief. You know, if anybody's against tax relief, it's like relief for pain. You're therefore some sadist that wants more tax pain. So these are this is the kind of messaging that is interesting and certainly deficient on the part of the Republicans, of the Democrats. And one of the things that I wanted to talk to, this is kind of ridiculous that I have to tell you what I'm going to talk about in the absence of having the person here, but this essay that Drew Weston wrote in the Huffington Post, he basically lays out a fairly fairly strong warning here that the Democrats are about to make. Are you there, Drew? Hello. He's about to. They're about to make a catastrophic mistake if they join the Republicans in the war on seniors. And as we know, as we approach this ridiculous deal that the White House got themselves into, where they're negotiating whether or not to compromise with the Republicans over totally absurd ideas. One is that there's this looming deficit crisis as opposed to a revenue crisis. And two, that somehow these nutcases from the lunatic libertarian wing and the Tea Party have seized on this idea of the debt ceiling, which no other country has it. It is completely immaterial to the economic functioning of the world's last and lone superpower. Yet they've decided to seize on this as an issue that somehow we're breaking through this important ceiling, and that they're using this ceiling of August the 2nd as a make or break situation where, I mean, essentially they're holding a gun to their own heads. So why would anybody consider that leverage? But for some reason or other, the White House is falling into place with this Republican strategy that We're not going to burn the house down. It's almost a sort of Samson strategy. We're not going to tear the temple down, but we will if you don't make compromises on things that we don't like, like Social Security and Medicare. And apparently there have been some talks behind the scenes as to whether or not they can make a compromise. A couple of fairly key Republican senators have indicated that they are not all in lockstep, the Republicans, with this fellow Grover Norquist, who again is one of these peculiar Washington phenomenon where this guy who's funded by the Kochs and others, who gets, who's taken seriously, who basically said that he wants to shrink the government down to the size where it can be drowned in a bathtub. He manages to get to be taken seriously. He is being taken seriously, and he manages to get everybody on the Republican Party hooked into his talking points. And they've basically been holding the line up until now, where they simply will not in any way entertain tax cuts. And of course, these tax cuts we're talking about are tax cuts for the rich. Which they've had it so easy for the last over a decade now. So they've been able to hold the line on saying no tax cuts. On the other hand, the Democrats have not come up with the way of shaming them to point out that obviously that you know, if you have a debt problem, you have to pay down the debt. And the way to pay down a debt is through revenues. And if you cannot ask the American people for money, but you can just, you can't ask the American people for money, but why not ask for the people who have been making out like bandits for the last decade plus? So this is the amazing part of it, that the Democrats, rather than create an alternative narrative here and make a stand for working Americans in the middle class, are buying into this ludicrous idea that we have this phony crisis with the debt ceiling. And in order to placate the lunatic fringe of the Republican Party that, you know, are essentially threatening this ridiculous situation, which would, of course, destroy U.S. economy make the United States like Argentina. why anybody would consider that real leverage a valid threat, I don't understand. But there you have it. And apparently there have been some breaks in the ranks of the Republicans. Senator Coburn has indicated that maybe there will be some discussions of revenues. So this is one of those deals that we're told had to be made. But you wonder why about the negotiating strategy of this particular White House, where, you know, maybe they should send some. I mean, actually, the guy that was there before, the chief of staff, his brother was a Hollywood agent. So you'd think that they would learn something from Hollywood agents, where you essentially ask for a lot more and compromise later, but you don't come into a negotiation asking for less. And that seems to be what they did with healthcare. And now they seem to be doing it over this deficit hoax. And of course, the article that caught my attention by the missing guest here today, Drew Weston, is about his warning that if they buy into the deficit hoax and buy into the war on seniors, they're going to lose, and they deserve to lose in 2012. Now, it's very interesting to note here that as Weston does in his article, and it just shows you how soon we forget. You might recall in the 2010 elections, which were just had recently, that the Republicans won all across the country by demagoguing on the issue that the Democrats were trying to take away your Medicare. this figured prominently in Republican attack ads across the country. So it helped them win in 2010, but the Democrats won't even use the same tactic, which, of course, they own this particular issue, since they're the ones who brought about Medicare in the first place and Social Security. Why they don't stand by it, it's an absolute mystery. But what can I tell you? I'm just here to ask questions, except in the case where our guests don't arrive and I am having a conversation with yourself, which I hope is not entirely boring, but it would not be it's not the same as actually having somebody to talk to. That's the role that I have chosen, is to be somebody that extracts information for you, the audience, from people who supposedly know what they're talking about. And I'm not an opinionator or a bloviator. So if you can please excuse me if I'm finding this awkward to have opinions here. But again, our guest is one of the few people that I find out there that's you know, study these issues, and he really does study the psychology of politics. And clearly, the Republicans are far more skillful at it, particularly in terms of what they call message management. And not only do they have better crafted messages with, you know, much more clever semantics, they also manage them in a monolithic way. Of course, they have the advantage of having tons and tons of money and having a fairly compliant media. So, or a media that largely they're beginning to own lock, stock, and barrel. So they will be able to turn this minority party into a permanent majority party, which I think they're doing. And one of the reasons that these messages work, even as mendacious and dishonest as they are, is, of course, the fact that public education is collapsing and people are more and more susceptible to manipulation and emotional blackmail. And people like the Karl Roves of this world have really figured this stuff out. So there aren't too many people you can turn to on the Democratic side, at least understand this now, not that they're only... But I mean, the idea that you have to bring about a political balance in this country by finding a Democratic Karl Rove is indeed a depressing situation. But at least in the case of people like George Lakoff and this our missing guest today here, Drew Weston, there aren't too many people that at least can talk to you about how perhaps these arguments could be better framed. So that is the, in essence, what we're hoping to do here today. And I do apologize for this fellow being a no-show. I have no idea what happened to him. Apparently, his wife called to say he's unable to make it to the phone. That's all the information I have. And we don't have time to find anybody else as I stand here. And again... we would have been talking about the idea of how this impending catastrophe, as Drew Weston sees it, and frankly, it's as I see it, I have a feeling that the White House is going to cave, and we'll see what kind of revenues that they can get out of the. I mean, the idea that the Republicans have laid down this marker, that you simply cannot raise revenues, even from that. I mean, it's so clear whose side they're on and who they're protecting. The super wealthy who've done so well, and the rest of us are the ones that have to tighten our belts. So there you go. Life isn't fair. But it's not fair because people aren't stepping up and doing what is necessary to change the system. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank my producers Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. Our production intern is Graham Fitzgibbon. Our theme music is by Los Lobos. You can hear this program, sign up for podcasts, and contact me at ianmasters.com. I'm also writing a blog at ianmasters.com. I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
time will find.